This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Christmas is next week. How exciting is that, Barry?
It is. Have you got all your Christmas shopping done?
No.
What did you get me this year?
Same as last year, but I got a big bright red ribbon on it.
He's never bought me anything. Look, guys, we've had you know that I have got off the tractor specially to come in and do this at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, Farmer so Jones.
I was busy topping my paddocks with the mower, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to finish this last paddock because I have to go and talk to Mariana. But does she appreciate it? She's not even going to give me a Christmas present.
Got a big one with a big red ribbon.
Sometimes I wonder what you do with that big Bridge Zone budget that we have. Finally.
Heading into Christmas leads straight into New Year's. That's a no-brainer. And then we get into New Year's resolutions. So I thought maybe we should work on those a little bit earlier. So I started fishing around, and there's something on Bridge Winners, Adam Parrish. You've read it, haven't you?
I had. I'd already spotted that. In fact, I've subscribed because it was free, and anything that's free, I'm in for, as you know.
So, listeners, I think you should have a little look.
Adam Parrish, he wants to improve his bridge game. That's what it's all about, isn't it? What does he say? There's a saying that anyone who is good enough to come in second place is good enough to be disappointed by it.
He wants to do better. He says, how do you get better? It's been on his mind, and it's probably been on mine too. How do I improve my game? And what does it actually mean when I say, oh, I hope I do better next time? Is that just the same as when you see people, you go, g'day, how are you? And sometimes you say, g'day, and some people say, I'm well, because they know that g'day, how are you is going to follow it. And they already preempt it. He's saying, what does getting better mean? What does it look like and what does it take?
So he's going to spend the year trying to find out how to get better. He's going to put together a training regime for himself. I'm going to try lots of different things. Some will work better than others. Some will be things I do on my own, reading books, playing robot games, studying ViewGraph deals. Some things I'll be able to do with others. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
Studying ViewGraph deals.
Yes.
Do you study ViewGraph deals?
I actually go in and watch ViewGraph. It is quite interesting, particularly when there's, you know, world-class players playing. And if there's a commentator, like last week, the mixed trials in Australia were on, and Barbara Travis, who's one of the top players over there, she was doing the commentary. She is very good. She is very good indeed. So, awesome. And she's got a story about everything, very entertaining, and she tells you why people are doing things. I think you can learn quite a lot from watching ViewGraph, particularly when there's a good commentator.
Right. Well, Adam Parrish says that he's inviting people to join him on this journey. I think that's awesome.
Well, it is. I don't know how many he's got joined. Can you tell?
No, I can't. But he says that he'll be sharing his progress in my new Substack. So there is a little link. So you have to go into Bridge Winners and look up Leveling Up by Adam Parrish. And you can click on it. It'll take you to a link. And what Barry did was there's a monthly membership, an annual membership, and something else, and then there's a free membership.
Perhaps we should have a competition. The Bridge Zone people could guess which one I went for. or do you think that nobody would get that wrong?
I think that's a trick question.
This isn't a two-way finesse, is it? There's only one way that this was going to go. I was definitely going for the free one.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he went for the free one. So it gets into his general public feedback. He reckons he's pretty good at bridge. Can you back that statement up, Barry?
I believe he is, yes. He puts out a regular newsletter. Is it weekly? How often is it? By the catchy name of Parrish the Thought by Adam Parrish.
Him and his partner, Greg Humphreys, they won a national title a couple of years back, and they know that they can win more. And he's got a dozen or so top 10 finishes, rah, 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 rah. But he wants to change that. He wants to change the outcome. He also wants to get all the advice he can. And if you've got ideas about ways to design a bridge training regime, that sounds a bit harsh, to share them.
It looks like he puts out this newsletter monthly called Parrish the Thought. And he's also written quite a few books. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's written 6 books that you can see. Bridge at the Cranmer Club. Entertaining book. Tells the story of a night at the local bridge club. modern defensive thinking. This is a pretty good ad for Adam Parrish, by the way. Do you think he's going to send us something?
I don't know. There's a person, what's his name? Steve Moise, is it? Or Moisi? What's the motive? The motive is to win consistently at a high level. The motive to create a learning group to share how to improve. What about to make transparent what winners must do to win today? To broaden one's reach as a bridge teacher? Or the motive of an author or the motive of those who engage this journey? He reckons, go for it, Adam.
He's got lots of things you can follow there. Worth a look.
That's a pretty big New Year's resolution that you're going to track it the whole way through. I don't know if I had a New Year's resolution. I think the first one is he's talking about that he's got one steady partnership. So you've got a steady partnership that you hardly ever branch out of when you play competitive bridge. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah. So I think one of the first things you have to do is that you have to have a long-term partnership. Would you guys, along the way, how many years have you and Jenny been playing?
28.
Okay. And along the way, did you ever document something like what Adam Parrish is thinking of, to how he could get better, and what were the tick points and what were the cross points?
No, I don't believe so. I still think it's quite a good idea, but it is a lot of work.
Yeah. So the one thing is that you've got to get a consistent competitive partner. And I guess you also have to agree that you're going to compete at a high level.
Be aware though that he does mention in there that some of the things he's going to do, he doesn't need a partner for. Some things he needs to do with his partner, but there are some things in there that he mentions.
But do you
Some
agree if you're in a partnership that you should be reading the same books?
maybe. Some of the books he reads might be about declare a play. That doesn't really matter. Your partner doesn't have to read that one.
True.
Or hand assessment, that sort of thing. Some things I'll do on my own, he says, like reading books, playing robot games, studying ViewGraph deals.
I wonder if you ever got time out, what you would do. Maybe if I was going to take time out and get away from the bridge table, I might come out to your farm and I can drive your tractor to mow your lawn.
Oh my God. It wasn't the lawn, it was a paddock. Well, it was several paddocks actually. So
I could do that.
Waikato has had lots of rain. We are not having a drought yet, and there is grass all over the place. Everybody seems to have lots of grass at the moment. That's why it's getting chopped.
Well, I'm going to let you in on something that I did yesterday. It was so jolly hot everywhere, wasn't it? So I thought, right, I'm going to air my car out. So I left the windows down and I forgot to put the windows up. So guess what I found this morning after all the rain during the night? My car
Oh.
windows were up and all my seats were wet.
Which car was that?
That was the Ford.
Poor old Falcon.
I know. I got the opportunity to air her out this afternoon. Crazy, crazy weather. She's getting dried out at the moment.
So she's all back in good shape now. If you
She
happen to have
is.
any passengers that you're taking to Papatoa in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she'll be fine. Resolution from you. Have you got one? Perform well at the mixed trials.
I was just working out. We started the show 2018, I believe. So this must be the sixth new year that we will have seen on the Bridge Zone.
Funny.
Sixth time we've done these New Year's resolutions.
I think my play has improved this year because I said that I wanted
Hang on a
to.
minute. I miscounted. It's the seventh. It'll be the seventh lot of
Shoot.
New Year's resolutions.
One thing I wanted to do was to get to 175 A points. And
Have you made it? Was that last year's resolution? I think it might
yeah,
have been.
it was. I got close. I was 4.33 A points away.
Not over.
I don't know where you go after this.
Papatoa.
Papatoa.
It's a 5A. You could get 5A points and you'd be there.
Oh, well, look at that.
Only thing is, you need a partner.
I'm working on that.
So last year, we made the trek up to Papatoa with Mariana and her partner Barb Daly, and this year we're looking at doing it again. Let's hope the expressway's open.
Yeah, well, I'd probably just go the back way anyway. We went up to Auckland last week. We came back on Saturday and it was fairly straightforward. That was all right and it was open, but we had to go up to Rarotonga, turn off, and then come back down to go into the Horatū, turn off. So,
Okay,
yes, 4.33. So, yeah, I guess the year
so
is still young.
I've got to confess, I can't even remember what my New Year's resolution was last year. So maybe I broke it.
Maybe, maybe, maybe. Barry, sorry, partner, we still get links from them. Recently, they had one with Nabil.
Not sure whether it's Nabil. I think it's Nabil Edgerton, but
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I haven't had an opportunity to listen to it yet. I will because he plays with Mike Wibley. Has he ever played with Matt?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't recall him playing with Matt.
But we definitely know he plays with Mike Wibley. So yeah, have a listen because that would be quite cool to listen to. And we're heading into Barry's tip. Let's see what he's pulled out of his hat.
My tip is buy yourself, or even better, get somebody else to buy you a bridge book for Christmas.
They're hard to find. You have to go online, and if you think it's going to be delivered by next week, I don't think you can.
Yeah, well, that's true. As long as you know it's coming. And you're going to get it over the Christmas New Year period, and when you might get a bit more time than you usually do to have a look, and you can start on that road to improvement that everybody's on. I mean, I know people all learn differently, but I think bridge books, particularly if they are written in an entertaining way as well as trying to be educational, are a good way to learn. They are for
Right.
me, but there might be some people who don't get anything out of that. Okay, if you don't have a book, maybe you can get it on your Kindle or something.
On your Kindle.
You know what a Kindle is? Yeah,
Yep.
maybe you can get it on your Kindle.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
1 week before Christmas, Barry's already asked for his bloody Christmas present.
I'm sure Judge Julie will have bought me one by now. Probably months ago, she'll have picked it out.
Like I said, you're a very slow learner.
Any listeners, she's just shaking her head, looking stunned.
Why don't you stun her with a brilliant question?
I haven't even prepped her on this question, so that's a bit mean, but she's getting used to that. The question is, when is a claim a claim? You always get these people who maybe make an incomplete claim, or then they say, oh, unless the diamonds are 4-1, and then realize there might still be a trump out or whatever. Some people are not great at claiming if they've left an important bit out. How does the director decipher all this?
Okay, well, a claim is an indication that you think you're taking the rest of the tricks or that you're conceding whatever you concede plus making the rest of the tricks. When you go to claim, A, it should be your turn to play or dummy, if you're declaring it to be yours or dummy's turn to play, not your opponent's turn. Right, it should be done at your turn to play. Quite a few people claim when it's their opponent's and it causes a fair bit of confusion at times about what is happening because the opponents are on the.
Okay.
When you claim, you should make a statement of claim that says what you are going to do. If you
Okay.
don't do that, if there's something that might happen, it probably will happen. It doesn't matter how good you are. You can't claim and someone says, oh, I've still got a trump. And they say, of course I remembered there was a trump outstanding. I just didn't bother mentioning it because, why should I bother? So there are things about it. And when directors are adjudicating on claims, then the rule of thumb is it's not insane play, but it doesn't have to be spectacularly good play either. In general, if someone's shown out of suit or will show out on a suit, the person making the claim is allowed to know that because they would know that in the play of the hand and they would adjust accordingly. A lot of people just say the rest are mine without regard to anything about it. And some of us, and I am one of these people, are pretty bad actually at seeing what claims are sometimes. You're focusing in on the wrong way or something. I queried one the other week where the declarer had 12 trucks and they seriously had 12 trucks. There was absolutely no doubt that they were going to make 12 trucks unless you were me looking at it from a completely different perspective. That
How
was.
many did you give them?
Well, I wanted to take another one and they wouldn't let me. They were absolutely right. There were 12 tricks. Sometimes we can be a bit off balance about what's happening with a claim.
I guess one of the common ones is the one that you just touched on before was when there's an outstanding trump or trumps that they haven't
Yeah.
mentioned.
If it's not mentioned, it's assumed that you've forgotten about it. With a couple of things, I mean, for example, if you haven't played trumps at all, you
Yeah.
will know that there are trumps outstanding. Or if you've only played one round, you will know there are trumps outstanding. So sometimes it will be clear that there will be missing trumps that need to be taken care of because of the previous play. But in general, the biggest hiccup here is that people forget that there is a trump outstanding, or they haven't counted properly and they don't mention it. And then it's just presumed that, if possible, the other side will take a trick. They can't always take a trial. And the other one, if you claim, right, and you have to rough something, then you will rough low because you know no one's going to over rough. You don't suddenly get this miraculous memory start and rough high. So the play of the cards, there are some really simple things that have to be clarified because, believe me, things get argumentative everywhere. And that is if you've got ace, king, queen, blah, blah in a suit, just assume you're going to play the ace, king, queen. Not that you're going to play the lowest ones up. You will play the highest down. But if you are following, you will play your lowest winning card, right? You're not going to play your highest winning card. So if you're on lead, you're going to play high cards down. If you're following suit, you're going to play low cards up. So you don't get to have a second go if this puts you in trouble.
If that's blocking the suit or something, you mean?
Yeah, or if someone's over-roughing you. Some of the time when someone's got a trump, they'll never make it because they're in the wrong position and it can't help. You look at everyone's hands. The people that are defending the contract now can see their partner's hands and they can say, oh, yes, I'm going to leave this because I know my partner's going to rough it because they've seen all the hands. You don't put your hand away in the board and say, I'm making the rest of the trish. You are meant to table it and show everyone. You don't get to just do a quick sneaky. And a lot of people, I mean, Patrick, I just take his word for it. I'm pretty bad at the end of the hand, and I've just given up on that as far as I'm concerned.
It's two confessions in one segment. I don't believe it.
So
I'm telling you, Mariana, the day that I take Patrick's word for it is the day that you can take me away and lock me up.
You don't normally argue with him very often when he's making a claim or you're making a claim, so there we go.
Oh, I thought this is when somebody's claiming and he accepts it you were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not there, he'll say something, so I'm happy. So the line of play when we're adjudicating doesn't have to be normal for the player. It can be slightly off because people make mistakes. Yeah. So when someone claims and you're not happy, you get to see all the cards. And if you're still not happy, you call the director. The director will write down the hand as it is at the time that the claim is made. They'll go away. They'll come back later and give you a ruling. There's just no issue with it, really.
Yeah.
It's one of those easy ones. You don't have to decide straight away at the table. Copy. And actually, one of the things about cell phones, of course, you can take pictures of everything now, which I must remember to do sometime when I'm directing. And
yeah,
then
true.
You can see everything, you know, and you've got it there and you can look at it and you can work through it.
Cool.
Well, it's taken till week 50 of the year to get this shock revelation from Judge Julie Mariana that people make mistakes. Well, who'd have believed it?
I'm sure I've mentioned mistakes made by people in the past.
I think you have.
You definitely have. Are you playing in Papatoe?
No, I'm not. Patrick will be, I would imagine. I think with Grant, I don't know.
That's one of their annual dates.
They generally play that, yeah.
So just saying that, my vision of A points is going down.
Mariana's been trying to get to 175 A points all year, Julie, and she's four short with just Papatoe to go.
Ah, okay. There's, I think, Christchurch and Wellington all have tournaments. Some of them might be pre-Christmas, I don't know. Some of them are, some of them are in January.
Not too late to book a flight, you think?
Yeah, well, you know.
True. Okay. So are your Christmas plans getting all sorted?
Yep, yeah, we're all good. Got family in Auckland. We'll go over to my son's for lunch on Christmas Day.
We'll be having Christmas at the Cullen household up in Devonport.
Oh, right. We'll have a four-year-old who's just learnt this year really what presents are. So he keeps singing Happy Birthday and he keeps singing Merry Christmas. They are really, really good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be wonderful this year.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see you next week.
Yep, okay.
All the best.
All the best.
It's time for a change of voice. Here's Peter Hollins.
Bridge is a game full of legends. There's Garozzo, Hammond, Maxroth, Bobby Levin, names that will be forever etched in the history of our beloved game. But today, I wanted to talk about a player who might surpass them all. At just 28 years old, Michael Klukowski is not only breaking records, but he's setting new standards for greatness in our game. Could he be the best player of our generation? Could he be the greatest of all time? If you don't know, Michael Klukowski is making history. He became the youngest ever World Open champion. He won a Bermuda Bowl at just 19 years old. He smashed the previous record held by Bobby Levin, who won it at 23 years old. And Bobby held that record for 34 years. But Michael's meteoric rise doesn't actually stop there. He's gone on to win 6 major titles and 3 more world championship titles as well. And he's only 28 years old. So how did this all happen? But Michael got his first break playing for the Poland Juniors. He was playing in the under-21s team and managed to get a world championship title at just 16 years old, playing in the under-21s category in 2012. But after that, that helped propel him to go and play in the open field and compete where he's had so much success. But he wasn't done with the juniors. After he'd already won the Bermuda Bowl, the top event in 2015, he was like, why not? Let's go back and play an under-26 title. So he went back to the junior field and won for Poland again in 2016. Remarkably, he's the second person ever to have gone and played a World Open tournament and then go back and still win a World Junior Championship. This is a feat that's shared by Roland Rohowski from Germany. But what's even more impressive about this, he was still eligible for under-21. But to, like, understand just how extraordinary his feats here are, it's important to compare him with the giants of our game. How does he compare against Garozzo and Bob Hammond, who are two of the people that get the title of greatest of all time? Well, Garozzo, he won 13 world titles, 10 of which were Bermuda Bowls. But he didn't win his first one until he's 34 years old. 6 years older than Michael is now, who already has 3 Bermuda Bowls and 6 world titles already to his name. What about Bob Hammond, another titan of the game? He won his first Bermuda Bowl at 32. He has 12 world titles and 2 senior championships, and 10 of those were Bermuda Bowls. What about Jeff Mextroth, one of the most successful American players of all time? He won his first Bermuda Bowl at 25 and has 8 world championships under his belt. Michael, by comparison, won his first world title at 19. At just 28, he has 6 major world championships, 3 Bermuda Bowls, and is on track to surpass even the legends of the game. However, Michael's career hasn't been without some controversy. His first appearance in the Bermuda Bowl in 2015 came under some unique and somewhat controversial circumstances. Several countries had actually withdrawn from that event after the 2015 cheating scandal had happened. Players from Israel, Monaco, and Germany were accused of cheating, and those teams all withdrew from there. Poland also had a team that was accused of foul play, and that was sort of just unfolding just before the event. The WBF withdrew the ability for that pair to actually play, and Poland had to decide, do they play or do they actually withdraw from the event? And ultimately, they decided to play, but also they decided to append Michael to the team. They brought in another pair. He wasn't even going to be on the team initially. Now, Poland deciding to play had some mixed reactions from across the bridge world. For instance, Roy Welland, who was a player on the Germany team who had one of their teammates who admitted to cheating, they decided to withdraw. And the reason for this is to get to the Bermuda Bowl, you actually have to play a European trial and win that and then be in the top European teams to then proceed on. And the point is, if the other pair wasn't there, would they have actually gone on? So here's what Roy Welland said. The WBF revoked the invitation to Bielicki Smidzinski, but did not disqualify the entire Polish team. It was upsetting to many that Poland was allowed to remain in the event. But it was not hard to understand the WBF's action due to concerns that disqualifying the entire Polish team might be perceived as a guilty verdict. Poland's decision to play was both offensive and disgraceful. We all want to play in the Bermuda Bowl, but first you need to earn your place. And you could not be certain that they had, nor can they claim that they did not have access to the evidence. It was easy for anyone to get a copy, and that would have even been easier for the president of the Polish Bridge Union or the players. For them to ignore the information from a credible source that their qualification might have been earned dishonestly is reprehensible, and it spits in the face of our current efforts to clean up the game we love. Well, we had Kit Woolsey say, I would agree with everything Roy says if the evidence were compelling. The question is whether or not it was compelling. Well, we've got Phil Markey saying, I think if really compelling evidence that has not been made public was provided before the decision was made, then the Polish authorities made a shocking decision to play. Which idiot would disagree with that? If the evidence was well short of compelling, then the Polish authorities, just like the WBF in withdrawing the invitation to BZ, had a difficult decision to make, a decision that would ultimately be unfair to someone. A fortunate certainty and a relevant fact when the decision was made is that Poland would very likely have qualified without BZ, and the three Polish pairs who won played great in the battle involving Bridge and deserved to win that battle. At the time, I realised I wasn't actually totally sure how the Bilicki-Smedzinski cheating accusations actually unfolded. I remember that sort of pivotal moment, but I never actually found out conclusive evidence. The other three pairs that got named all got banned for 5 years. But I looked up and what actually happened to Bilicki-Smedzinski.
Interesting, isn't it? Catch the remaining part of the segment on next week's show. Big news of the day is that the entries for the New Zealand mixed teams finishes today. What time? Midnight?
I reckon it's midnight. I reckon if you woke up at some time between 11 and midnight and decided I'll ring Mariana up and see if she's available to play the mixed trials, I reckon you'd still have time to get your entry in.
Whoop, whoop. Actually, I should say 11:59 because that might be a small technicality if I did it at midnight.
It could be.
That's us. Next week, heading into Christmas, we'll have a little, I don't know, what would you call it? A little competition between us four. So it'll be Bailiff, Judge Julie, Barry and myself. Tune on in next week and we'll let you know what it's all about. That's it from me.
Well, I guess we should just talk about all the bridge that's coming up over the weekend.
What is it?
Nothing.
Oh.
Absolutely nothing.
Plummeric. Okay. Confirm with me Papatoa's dates.
Oh, the Papatoa date starts on the 27th of December. 27th, 28th and 29th.
It is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That sounds like a plan. I'll see you at the BP at Horatu.
Well, yeah, but I still want to know who you're going to be with. Is Santa going to drop partner off in your stocking?
Yeah.
One of the elves, maybe. If you're going to play with one of the elves, you better take a cushion because the seats are probably too low.
Yeah. It'll be a surprise. I'll catch you next week, everyone.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.